Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your love that you've poured out upon us in an abundance. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I just keep having that song running over in my head. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. Thou hast put off my sackcloth. Thou hast put off my dancing for me and girded me with gladness. It's just running around in my head. I'm old school. Does anyone else know that song? No, I'm it. Wow. Just says how old I am. Does anyone know? Pressed down, shaken together, running out all over. Jump on the grapes, thread out the new wine. Thanks to the Lord, the giver. Does anyone remember that? You know, those old songs were awesome because they were scripture in song. And so sometimes someone would say to me, does the Bible say this? And I'd sing the song. I'd go, yeah, it does say it somewhere. Because I knew it did, because we would sing the verses. We would sing the songs of Scripture. And they were in our hearts because we knew the Word of God. And so when we would respond to people, we tend to respond out of those things. And anyway, that was just nothing to do with my message, but yeah. You know, what I was thinking about while I was away is, and you demonstrated this as well, was our love for one another. How we love each other, how we treat each other like family. And we're not church is not a business. You've heard me say this before, and I'll always say it. Church is a family. You are my mothers, fathers, brothers, and sisters. And I treat you and look at you like that. You know, and I feel that you're my family. You know, so when something happens to one of my family, you want to believe I'm praying. I'm believing with you. You know, and last Sunday we had Sue fell ill in the service. And it was a difficult thing. A fortnight ago, was it? A fortnight ago. But, you know, what really touched my heart is that you gathered around and you prayed while the ambulance was coming. And you believed, and so many of you went and visited her, the hospital had to say, stop. When have they ever had such a problem? You know? I loved that. That really touched my heart, that you loved Aunt Sue like that. It was wonderful. And then, you know, a week before, Patricia came, and she was going to have her operation, and she came, and Anthony, we were going to pray, and you all got up out of your chairs to pray. That's love. That's love. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that good, eh? God got a hand, eh? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it's, you know, love. It's the thing. It's the thing. We can do all this stuff. We can feed the poor. We can do this. We can do that. But you know what will really show people that God is in us? Their love for one another. How we love one another. You know, when you all gathered around to pray for Sue, when you gathered around to pray for Patricia, those people who are new went, wow. How much does this church love that person? That's really important. 1 Corinthians, if you've got your Bibles with you, now that you know what I'm talking about, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and, of course, verse 1. Now, the word love is translated in the Bible three ways. Eros, erotica, phileo, which is brotherly love, and agape, whatever you like to say. And agape is an unmerited love. It's love without constraint. It is love without strings attached. It is love that is often better translated into English as charity. which some of your Bibles will show this verse saying charity. And the reason they've done that is that English translates that agape better as charity in English. And so a charitable kind of love is the kind of love that doesn't expect anything in return. It gives. It just constantly gives. It's constantly giving. And you know that Diane's work situation was pretty bad for the last several years, we had been praying. We'd been praying and praying and praying for something to change, and it just kept getting worse. It was like out of the frying pan into the fire, you know, then into the furnace. It just kept getting worse. And then Brett Giffen came up to me several months ago. He says, I just woken up in the middle of the night to pray for you guys, for the leaders and for you, but specifically for Diane. That's love. That's love. And God honored Brett's prayers because Brett got up and prayed. Brett's prayers were no better than mine, but God honored it. Why? Because it came out of compassion and love. He loved on us, and he loved us enough to get up in the wee hours of the morning and pray. I thank you for that. Because it changed something in the spirit. It changed something that couldn't be moved otherwise. It was stuck. We were in this hole and couldn't get out of it, and somebody loved us enough to pray. And then, boom. Something shifted in the spirit. When Joey was 2, he had what is called a cerebral convulsion, which basically means that his brain shut down from the rest of his body. Some would say that happens today. But it's a response that only happens to 2-year-olds or less. It's to protect their higher brain functions. But basically, they're effectively dead. I get a phone call from my mum and my dad, and my dad says, there's something wrong with Joey, please come over. I raced over, and mum and dad had him wrapped in a blanket, and he was shivering. And they said, oh, he's cold, we've got him in a blanket. No, I ripped the blanket off. I went and I made a lukewarm bath. I put him in the lukewarm bath to bring down the temperature. Called an ambulance. Well, I had him in my arms, and he was just barely breathing, just sort of taking a few gasps. And you want to bet I prayed. You want to bet. My dad's an unbeliever, and he was there, and I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying out as loud as I could. I didn't care who was hearing me. I was praying. I wanted my son to live because God had given me a word. He'd be head and shoulders above the rest. Stand up, Joey. He's head and shoulders above the rest. It's exactly what God had said. And sometimes you need to remind God of his promise. And I said, Lord, if he lives, I'll serve you all my life. Oh, well. Here I am. Got me. Ha-ha. Nah. I tell you, when you love someone, you'll pray. When you care about people, you'll pray. When it matters to you, you will pray. Sometimes you'll pray for people you don't even know. You don't know them. But something, it says this of Jesus. Jesus came to a shore and the multitudes had come around the lake and they were there and there was four. And it says this. Jesus had compassion on the crowd. And he said to disciples, what shall we feed them? The disciples said, well, we haven't got any food. And they missed it completely. What shall we feed them? He had compassion. He felt love for these people. Love is the most important thing. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I'm only a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and have all knowledge, and if I have faith that I can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is the preeminence of all things that God is. God is not harsh. He is not mean. He is not cruel. None of those things. God is love. End of story. God is love. Love is everything, and everything that we should do flows out of love. If you give to the poor, give to them out of love, not out of your sense of duty or that you think that this might be a good idea. No, love them, and that will have power. If you're praying for somebody and they've asked you to pray, love them first, and your prayers will be answered. Love them. Care for them. It makes all the difference. Love must be our primary motive for why we are doing what we are doing. Why do we come to church? Because of some sense of duty? Because, oh, well, the pastors say we should. No, we come because we love it. We love it. I love the church. I'm here at Brekkie Church. I love it. You're missing out if you're not at Brekkie Church. I had to tell you. It's awesome. It is fantastic. We get to fellowship together. We have brekkie together. We hear a bit of the word. We sing a few songs. It's incredible. Then after that, we fellowship for a bit, which is awesome, and we go and pray. I tell you, soon it will be standing room only in the prayer room because more and more people are catching something in this church. And when you see the prayer room start to overflow, you will be pretty certain God's about to do something. Always starts in prayer. Everything's birthed in prayer. Everything. Love covers a multitude of sins. You know, man, we get so caught up in our stuff. Forget it. Love one another. Care for one another. Nurture one another. Pray for one another. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Romans 5 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Whoa. In there somewhere it says, for a good man, some might dare to die. But yet while we were against him, he died for us. See, that's the attitude of Christ. That's why he said, pray for your enemies. Because that's the attitude. You don't pray for your enemies to get swallowed up by the ground. Maybe we might feel like that. You pray for them. If you only had one opportunity to say something to somebody about God, what would it be? If you had, you saw somebody on the street, you were never going to see them again, and there was one thing you could say to them that was really important, what would it be? God loves you. There's nothing better than that. That's everything. If God loves me, then it'll all be okay. If God loves me, then things will work out. And it does. God does so many things. I think we'll be quite shocked when we get into the kingdom of God at how many times God intervened to save our lives. I think we'll be quite amazed at how many times we came close to the razor's edge and God pulled us away. we'll be amazed at how many times that wall that we kept banging up against was actually God, not the devil. It was God saying, don't go that way. It's not going to be good for you. We'll be thankful when we get to heaven and we didn't win the lotto. I know you find that hard to believe, but I think for most of us it will be have been a good thing not to have won. So what could we sum up the whole of the Bible? Is God is love. That is it, basically. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the four Gospels in the New Testament. The fourth book, the book of John, just prior to the book of Acts. And Jesus is in a garden. A gentleman comes to him by the name of Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee. He's a local Catholic priest, basically. He comes up to Jesus and he says, he's a religious leader of the day. It's about the most religious leader I can think of. So they come up to him and said, well, Jesus, we know that you're from God. Now Jesus could have said, well, Nicodemus, come on. You're coming to me in the middle of the night. It's 12 o'clock. It's bedtime. Go away. Come back in the morning. He could have said to him, Nicodemus, you're a religious person. You're really not interested. You're just trying to find some excuse to have a shot at me. He could have, but he didn't. Oh, be good if I had my Bible, wouldn't it? So in John, we'll start in John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, Jesus always got to the heart of the matter. He doesn't say, yes, I am from God and da-da-da-da-da-da. No, he doesn't even respond to any of that stuff. He just tells him right where it's at. Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless you are born again, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? I reckon he said that really sarcastically, because he didn't understand. But Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And then he goes on. We'll go down to verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's the Gospels. There's the Bible. There's every scripture rolled up into one. That is the purpose of God, because God is love. This scripture, when I was growing up, was the key scripture. Everyone would say John 3:16. Everyone knew it off by heart. Most of you here probably do. It's fallen out of favour in the modern times. I looked it up, what the top 10 scriptures were. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Was the number one, not a bad scripture. And there was lots of little scriptures that were good, but they were very introspective. And I think God wants us to be not like that. He wants us to look outwards. He wants us to look out to the harvest, because the harvest is ripe and it's ready to be picked. Why? Because God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Everything God does, everything he's ever done, everything that he will do is out of his love to you. And that doesn't mean that yucky things don't happen. Believe me, yucky things still happen. They do. Yeah, you just run across the wrong people in the wrong place and everything goes left. But it's amazing how many times God will pull us out of the fire because he loves us. The Apostle John writes, we'll go further on to his epistles. So the first John, I hope you're okay with all the scripture this morning. So first John, somewhere. Okay, 1 John 4 and verse 8. 4 and verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might through him live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Just an amazing scripture. You know, I grew up in a church environment that was very legalistic. And unfortunately, legalism tends to negate love. They don't mean to, but it's just the nature of it. The more legalistic you become, the less loving you become. And so it's just the way it works. So we need to step away from legalism. It's never good for us. And that's why Jesus was so hard on the religious leaders of the day, because they had become legalistic with God's word. And he said to them on a number of occasions, you know, I would rather mercy over sacrifice. You go away and work out what that means. They had no clue what that meant. He might as well have been speaking Swahili to them. But we know what it means. It means that love and mercy and compassion win out over the letter of the law. The law kills us. It destroys us. We can't keep the law. It's not possible. We're not meant to keep the law. This is the only law that we're to keep, that you would love one another as I have loved you. That's it. One thing. And let's be honest, we struggle with that one thing. We struggle with loving one another. We struggle with just ignoring those things that, some of us are just walking around with a loaded gun. We just don't know it. Hey, Anthony, putting on a bit of weight there, mate. Hey, Anthony, I didn't like your preaching last week. Not right. We need to think before we speak. And if it's not edifying, don't say it. Keep it to yourself. I used to have a pastor who used to say, opinions are like armpits. We all have them and most of them stink. That's about true. And he used to always tell me, Keith, get rid of that stinking thinking. And it's true. It's true. Think well of one another. Love one another. Be kind towards one another. Please don't shoot one another. It's not helpful to the kingdom and it builds nothing. We're here to build. Amen? We're here to build his kingdom, and we build that by loving one another, caring for one another, and praying for one another. If one of us hurt, we all hurt. If one of us is in trouble, we're all in trouble. That's just the way it works. If you hear of something, of one of our brethren are in trouble, you pray. You put it out in the, well, if with their permission, put it out in the prayer line and we'll pray. Not everything is for public airing. There are some things that should be kept to ourselves and or just distributed among a small group. That's just wisdom. John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus says, I'm going to give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So you too are to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love and unselfish concern for one another. We no longer are concerned about our own things. We're concerned about everyone else's things, what they need. It's a change of mindset. If you want to be greatest in this church, learn to serve. Everyone comes through here, through the servant's door. All of us serve. We live to serve. Humility is just that. It is the ability to serve others at your own expense. And so few people can do that because they're looking for something. They want to be somebody. They're looking to be the preeminence, whatever it may be. Work through those issues, if they're in you, so that you can be the best servant you can be. And in serving others, you will find fulfillment for your own life, because that's what Jesus promised. And that's love. That is love. Galatians 6, 9 to 11. Let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap if we do not give in. So then, while we, as individual believers, have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, not only being helpful, but also doing that which promotes their spiritual well-being. And especially be a blessing to those of the household of faith, born again believers. What a great encouragement from the Apostle Paul. That is fantastic. That I love that. And you know, if we don't love the people next to you, people in our very congregation, how can we love them out there? We're deceiving ourselves. If you can't love your brother and sister in the pew next to you, you're not going to love the person out there. Not really. You're going to be looking for something. You're going to be looking for something to come back to you. And that's not love. Love doesn't boast. It doesn't. Let's turn to that. 1 Corinthians 13. What a great piece of scripture. 1 Corinthians 13. Again, we'll finish where I started. From verse 3. And although I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not loved, it profits me nothing. Because love suffers long and is kind. Love doesn't envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, in other words, when Jesus returns, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your love and for your compassion over us. And we would pray that you would pour out your love upon us, that we would have much grace to give to our brothers and sisters here at Central Life and our brothers and sisters in other places, Father. We pray that we would love one another with a fervent love, that when we hear of a need, that it's met, Father, that when we hear of a prayer request, that we pray, that when we see that there's a financial need, we provide for it. Father, that all we would have all things in common, Father, just as the early church did. They had all things in common and they held to the apostles' doctrine. Father, allow us to be like that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome day and I'll see you at the picnic.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.